Hi, and welcome to the 34th episode of Language Humanities Podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today my special guest is Anna Breslavskaya from Russia. She's part of the Language Heroes Marathon, and she has her own teaching website where she teaches English, mostly intermediate. So welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself? What has been your teaching background?
I've been teaching online for the last 6 years, only online and only adults. And I've been lucky enough to be able to combine my passion and my profession. So because like the best thing in my life, my favorite thing is learning languages. And because of teaching English, I'm able to be sort of in connection with English all the time. And due to my flexible schedule, I have enough time to continue learning other languages.
Cool. Which other languages do you learn?
At the moment, I'm focusing on Spanish, but I also speak intermediate German and Hebrew.
Oh, nice. Okay. And have you traveled abroad, lived abroad to learning the languages?
I haven't traveled abroad for the reason to learn languages, but I had experience of working in the USA when I was a student, and I have also lived in Israel for almost 1 year, where I learned Hebrew and where I practiced a lot of English.
Oh, cool. And where did you live in the States?
In the States, well, it would be better to ask where did I work? Yeah, because it was not exactly living. I worked in children's camp, and it was situated in New York State.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, and then I traveled a little bit around.
Nice. And how long was that camp?
3 months, and I worked there 2 summers in the same camp.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay. And I think I've discovered you more recently through the Language Heroes Marathon with Evgenia Kasheva. How did you get involved with the marathon?
Oh, I must remember this moment in my life. Somewhere last May, I think, I was asking myself if it's all right to learn many languages at the same time. If it's really possible not to concentrate on just one, let it be English or German. And so I was just Googling, and all of a sudden I came up across her advertisement where she was saying, you know, very attractive, love the picture of it, like get a new language for autumn, something like this. And she was explaining about the community and how it works and everything. And I said, okay, why not? Why not give it a try? And that's how I came there.
Yeah, and I think I saw, I really, really liked an interview that you did with Genia on your podcast. And that is, I have to say, that is one of the inspirations for this one, with a lot of people. And I like that. I like that idea of like a like a interview with a polyglot, or and as I've discovered, even many other people in the language learning community who are very active online, having interviews with other language learners, other teachers, it's a very stimulating experience to be able to share your teaching experience, talk about your kind of your language learning routine. So I really like that podcast, and it's
been
giving me a lot of ideas. So thank you. And so with your experience, you've in the marathon, you've learned Spanish in the marathon, and you've also been a mentor for English.
Yes. Since autumn, I've been mentor for English in one of the groups. And I also enjoy this experience a lot. But I must say that it has influenced my learning habits. That was the reason why I couldn't continue to be within the community when it comes to my languages. I've started twice and I've quit twice. I blame it all on mentoring, not on my laziness.
In terms of how that's kind of influenced your language learning process, what are a few things you could say have changed? For example.
You mean what has changed since I joined the community?
I mean, like you say that your mentoring has influenced how you learn the language. What would be an example of that?
I didn't mean quite that. I don't think that mentoring has influenced my way of learning.
Oh,
It
okay.
has influenced my time management.
Okay, I see.
And my involvement. Because I think that the best thing that comes with participating in such things as language marathon is involvement into the community. And you get most of it when you are an active part of it. But since I have become the mentor and I had to be very active helping and advising my students, I could not be as active with my experience. And it was not the same anymore, you know?
Yes, I see. I see. I think for the first time when I participated learning Russian for the October, the autumn marathon, well, now we're getting 6 months ago. I did get a lot of, I try to stay active in the group, and the response and the feedback and the support was almost overwhelming at times. And I'm very appreciative of that. And then in the second one, I did get a bit more involved on, I mean, initially, because there was a little bit of complication with, as I'm kind of launching this, the podcast, the online teaching. And so that unfortunately affected, my time management as well to be participating actively in the group. I'm hoping really for the next marathon in June to really be a lot more active and to be able to, as you say, it is complicated to learn and mentor at the same time because you have two hats that you have to wear, and it's difficult to really give full focus to both of those.
Yeah, it's a matter of focus.
So, in when you have been learning your languages like Spanish and German and Hebrew, what are some things you include in your study routine?
Oh, interesting. It depends on what stage of learning I am. So at the moment, I'm quite advanced, I can say, in Spanish. So I include only fun stuff. It's reading books and watching films and communicating with people. That's the best thing. That's the goal why I learn languages, to be able to have such communication. And through these media, if I can put it this way, I also learn and progress. But if we talk about the first steps, it's always a very good textbook. Very good textbook means for me it has lots of texts, audio, grammar explanations, and word lists that you're supposed to know. It's like when you finish working with this textbook, you are well equipped for conversation, which should happen, I think, at least in 3 months, but better earlier than later.
And did you, if I remember correctly, you in January with the Language Heroes and Benny Lewis, there was a speaking a week challenge. What language did you take on?
Oh, it was Swedish.
Oh, okay.
Oh
And how was
my
that experience?
God. Oh, it was fantastic. I did not expect that it would be this way. I thought that 1 week is not enough, never in a way it's enough to have a conversation with a native speaker who doesn't speak your language. And it was just it turned out that you can know 100 words and a little bit of help from English, and 1 hour conversation is possible.
Wow.
Yeah,
Okay.
very
Well, an
slow,
hour.
very
Okay.
basic, but it's possible.
Wow. Okay. That's inspiring. I think a lot of things I've seen, for example, I've joined the Add One Challenge, and their objective in there is to say, after 90 days, hold a 15-minute conversation, well, 1-5, but that depends on the speaking level of the participants. Are they starting from scratch, or are they at a like a pre-intermediate level? So at that level, having 15 minutes is feasible. It's just a matter of like, well, what kind of a conversation are you having? Are you able to, so they have to adapt the what is it that they want to be able to do in 90 days with that. But certainly after a week, it is possible to have a
Absolutely,
conversation.
absolutely. And it was 1 hour just because I was very slow, and I didn't want to use any sort of help from my notebooks. I wanted to take it all from my memory, and of course, in a week, yeah, it takes time to drag it all out.
Cool. And how about with your German studies? What is your level with German?
Okay, my German. I studied German in the university, and as usual, it is in Russian universities, I believe, in my department. It's always very strict and academic, and they were able to get us to a very good level in terms of understanding texts and analyzing texts, this stuff. But afterwards, I took private lessons with a native speaker during 1 year, and it really helped me be very confident in speech as well. But I have betrayed German with Spanish.
Okay. Yes, the other lover.
Yeah, exactly. More passionate.
The do you mind if we try to speak a little bit in Spanish just to hear how you has
Oh,
viajado a España?
sorry.
¿Conoces España? ¿Has viajado a algún país donde se habla español?
Sí.
Sí. ¿Dónde has viajado?
He viajado en Cuba y México.
Oh,
México.
okay. ¿Dónde en México has viajado?
En México, en Cancún. Solamente en Cancún.
Muy bien. Sí, me encanta Cancún. Nada más que una vez fui y me quemé fatalmente la espalda. Sí, era doloroso, muy doloroso. Yo creo que voy a tener que poner fotos con el podcast, pero sí, era horrible. Entonces, recomiendo a la gente, si nos entienden, hay que poner mucha crema de protección solar en
Sí.
Cancún.
A mí ha pasado lo mismo en las Filipinas. Sí.
¿Y en las Filipinas hablan español un poco o más el
No.
inglés?
No. Más el inglés. Con los turistas.
¿Y cuándo fuiste a Cuba?
Hace 4 años, hace mucho tiempo, y en aquel tiempo no sabía hablar español. Y
Sí,
también cuando fue en México también, pero ahora es mi sueño ahora visitar a España y
muy
practicar ahí.
bien. Sí, pues dominas muy bien el español.
Más o menos.
¿Cuántos años llevas estudiando?
2 años.
2 años. Okay, muy bien, muy bien.
Mucho tiempo.
Cool. So yeah, that's I think that's the first time I've been able to get one of the guests to speak. Well, everybody is speaking in a foreign language because most of the people on here speak English as a foreign language. But in terms of speaking in another language that's not English on the podcast, that's been a fun aspect. Cool. Can you tell me a little bit about your online teaching? So you've been doing that now for 6 years, and do you do just individual classes? Do you also do group classes?
I mostly do individual classes, and I do lots of stuff. So mostly it's individual coaching with creating individual program for each student according to the needs and preferences, the likes and the goals. That's what I really like about this part. And recently I started doing group classes. I used to have conversation classes, but for some reason they didn't go very well. Maybe I didn't try enough, I don't know. But now I have a really cool project that I adore, and it's my reading club. Every week, me and three other students meet and discuss 1984. Like, yes, and it's really cool because we sort of go into detail and take two chapters for each week. So we can practice all the difficult vocabulary and interesting grammar, and express our opinions, exchange our opinions on different subjects. It's really great. I love it.
Cool. And do people, for the students, do they practice reading the text, or is it they read in their free time and then you discuss it, or do they also do the pronunciation for recordings?
No, they read everything in their free time, and we read in the original, so they're quite fluent already in English. And I also give them vocabulary tasks and comprehension questions, so they really need to get prepared for the meeting.
Wow, that must be very advanced, because I think for even in the United States, when we have to read 1984, it's like one of our in our later years in high school. So even for English speakers, even for native speakers, it is a little of a challenging text. So I can imagine how
Really?
it or well, if you're a lazy American high school student, any book that you have to read is a challenge. So I do admit that I was not the best reader when I did have to do these the novels and the, I did use the Cliff Notes maybe too much. So have to or watch the movie, and then the teachers would purposely put questions that were related to the movie and that were not in the book. And they would they would catch us completely with some of the questions, like, oh, and when this person did that, like, oh yeah, I remember that. Clearly, I can visualize that in the movie. And the teacher was like, I know exactly what you did. You didn't read the book. And like that scene never took place in the book. They completely made that up for the movie. Like, ah, oh, okay, yeah, you caught me. You caught me. Okay. But
Yeah, but nowadays as adults, we can catch up, but we didn't understand during our school years.
Yeah, definitely. Now I really enjoy reading when I have a chance, and and staying focused. I'm more like short stories. I think my attention span is a little bit less, so I can get into a short story and get out of it very quickly. I guess I don't want to commit maybe to long literature. I should, but yeah.
Books are divided into chapters.
That's true.
That's not an excuse.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I have to you're holding me accountable for reading books by chapters. I will take I will reconsider that. Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Kidding.
And for with your teaching, and also, do you have any online courses that you create or put together?
Yes, I have a pronunciation course which has been running since September, and up till now I've had two groups, it's about 20 people who managed to get to the end of it, so to say, because it's mostly relies on self-study with me giving feedback.
Okay, is that like a teachable course, or like do you create all the content?
No, that's I don't create original content for the course. I curate already existing content, and students are supposed to work with it. Every week they have a certain task, and then at the end of the week they send me recordings, and I listen carefully and give them detailed feedback on how
okay.
they're
and,
going.
And where can and where do you host the, or where, what platform do you use?
It's called Schoology.
Oh, okay.
Schoology.com, I believe.
Okay,
yes.
So it's Schoology.com?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
it's
do you have
a convenience platform?
Oh, okay. I haven't heard of that one before. And you have a teacher profile and you curate content, or how does it work?
I don't think that you can create your profile over there. My students sign up through my VK group, where I post about the upcoming course, and then we just move on to the platform where all the materials are.
Okay, so, okay. And what is your VK site that people can visit?
It's vk.com, clear_English.
Ah, okay. So I'll make sure to include that in the show notes. And is that a open page, or is it a closed group?
It's an open group.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, yeah, I'll have to make sure to direct people to go check that out. So, okay, so, and your website, what is your website?
It's anna-edu.com.
Okay, so edu? Uh-huh. Okay.
Edu, yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, and so what are your upcoming projects for the next couple of months? Because I know, for example, Language Heroes is on vacation. So, so what are you
good
going
guess.
To do?
Yes, I have a project that I hope to begin in a week. And that is Memory Challenge Project. That's how I have named it. And it's dedicated to learning foreign words. And it's dedicated to experimenting and exploring various techniques that are out there for learning new words and to finding the right one for you.
Mm. Have you ever heard of Anthony Metivier with the
yes.
Magnetic Memory Method? If I remember the name of his method
yeah.
correctly. Have you used any of the techniques like the Memory Palace? Have you tried those?
Well, that's what I'm going to find out, and that's what I'm going to try. I have read about this method a lot, but I have never actually put it into practice, because there are always other ways to memorize words and to learn vocabulary, right? And mm-hmm. I always focused on Memrise and Quizlet, you know, spaced repetition programs,
mm-hmm.
which worked really well for me. But now I'm a little bit out of it. I don't know why, I got bored maybe. And I'm looking for new ways. And Memory Palace is one of the things on the list.
Cool. And I was just listening to, or I joined a teachable course from Agnieszka Mordach. She just launched a new course called Language Learner Pro. And one of the techniques that I really liked that she talked about was the flashcards was to, it was almost like a mix of Anthony's idea of like a memory palace, but in this case, physical space. So she was kind of taking the frequency of where are high traffic places in your home And combining that with your list of vocabulary or your flashcards, where you would need to spend like the first words that you would need to spend like repeating them many, many, many times, in putting those lists in your high frequency places in your home. Then when you move on to a review, like a second review of these words, put them in like a less frequent place in your home. And then finally, like maybe a third place that might be at the door when you're about to leave, something that you only do like when you enter and when you leave. So it was very interesting to combine learning the vocabulary and where you're going to see it on a regular basis. So I'm going to try that out. I haven't tried it yet, but the idea, I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Also sounds like a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, it's a lot of paper, but I think I was applying it now, saying I don't want to cut out and have little pieces of paper everywhere in the house, but maybe a little piece of paper on a list I could put in a place, mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm going to have to invest in technology in the house where I could have a digital screen here. Digital screen.
Oh,
a
bit OTT.
That would be too much, yeah. But that would be very 1984-ish, I guess.
Yeah, the word staring at you from the screen. Learn me.
Yeah, that'd be kind of creepy. But cool. So I look forward to hearing about your the memory techniques and learning the vocabulary. So are you going to be blogging about that? Are you going to be creating a course? Or how are you going to be working on that?
I think it's going to be in a closed group in VK, where I'm going to communicate with those directly who are interested in it.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just, you know, that there are so many articles out there about how to improve your memory, how to learn words, and many lists of things. And many of them sound very reasonable and logical. It's just that I've never tried them. So I'd like to find people who also have never tried them, but would like to. And it's going to be sort of an experiment, research as well, with a little bit of statistics and stuff. Yeah, I hope it will be interesting for others.
So if people would like to join that group, how should they contact you?
Through my Wiki page.
Okay. And would that be a free group or a paying group to have access?
It's going to be with a little payment. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So people can find out more information through your website, through your VK mm-hmm. site then.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, I look forward to hearing about the results from that research. Would be interesting because as you say, yeah, there's so many techniques that are out there, and people say, okay, I've got the perfect method, try this and try that, and so people promise a lot of results, but each person, each learner is a little different. So I think.
Yeah, that's what I like. That's what I sort of can't avoid taking with me everywhere from my one-to-one lessons, because I always try to find some individual approach and like some kind of one method for everybody. I'm always skeptical about it. And like some mass courses also, not really my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am similar from the teaching experience and realizing, I mean, there is no such thing as a one size fits all language learning program that's going to work and get the same results for everybody. Everybody is different. So with that said, I would say, yeah, if you are a learner and you're about to learn a new language from scratch, it's very important to figure out your learning style and your learning personality and reflect a little bit on your experiences when you're in, you know, school or university and what worked, what didn't. And if you're going to imagine the perfect course for you, how would it work? Would it include audio content? Would it include text? Would it be hands-on material? Would it be living abroad in a different country? How would you imagine that? And so I think students should kind of approach language learning in a different way now, not just consume somebody else's product, but try to figure out what works for them so they can be a successful learner.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is still just to use a combination of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that too. I usually take a little piece from here, a little piece from there, and just reconstruct to see what works. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, on that note, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Anna. Thank you so much for coming on the show. So I look forward to other opportunities to talk with you and maybe collaborate on some projects. And so good luck with your reading club project and with the memory, that research. And so I'll make sure to include the links to the sites that you mentioned. So thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks, likewise. So I'll just say if people are interested in taking an English lesson with Anna, definitely contact her. And if you'd like to take an English lesson with me or hear more about my language meanderings, you can visit my website at hugginsinternational.com. That's HUGGINS international.com, or you can send me an email at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. So thank you once again, Anna, for coming on the show, and thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you.
Take care.